Hello, this is Florian speaking.
Hey, good evening. This is Thorsten.
Hi, Thorsten.
Hey, Florian.
Hello, Florian.
Hi, Charles.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine, you? Lots of snow here.
Doing good.
Hey,
Fine.
Charles. Bonsoir.
Hello, Thorsten. Bonsoir.
Hi,
Hello,
hello, Sophie.
how are you doing? Do you feel better?
A little bit better, yes, thanks.
Okay.
Hey, Sophie, great to hear you.
Thanks. Hello.
So let's see who we are missing. I think Italo, are you around? And Andre? Think those two are missing. Christoph can make it. He has Christmas celebration at his company, but I think we're waiting for Italo and Andre. But this call could be rather short. Anyone has an agenda item? I did check the wiki and found nothing at the moment. So otherwise, we just do some short status updates, I propose, to see where we stand.
Oh yeah, indeed. Again, no agenda, which I think is good news. I mean, it's like things start to settle down, and we are kind of established.
I mean, really, one couldn't really guess that this group is led by German people. No agenda?
It
Well, it can just mean that all those Germans are very busy with doing stuff and just forgot to draft the agenda. Who knows? So then I nonetheless propose that we just make a start. I don't know if Andre and Italo will join, and we have some people in the audience, I think, who are waiting for some feedback. So, yeah, if we have no official agenda, this means two things: that, as usual, at the end of this call, we will open up the microphone for everybody listening, so they can also talk to us, and then everybody else can add their items as well. And what I would propose as a start is that we just give a short status update on what has happened since our last call, which was on Sunday. And I just start. Not much from my side to say. I spend all day long with digging through very old emails. What I did is actually something that Charles can report better about. I finally found the time to have a much closer look at the bylaws, and I think I sent a pretty long email. But don't get me wrong. I like the current draft. I just had a few ideas and few thoughts on what we could do, but I sent an email to the list, and I think this is the most interesting topic at the moment, that we are working on our bylaws, and the deadline we set ourselves in last Sunday's call was that we would like to have at least a close to final version this week, and so everybody who wants to make feedback on the bylaws should do this, I think, by Sunday the latest.
Yep. So, first of all, I guess David must be on the call. He can, I'm sure, confirm it by IRC. But so, first of all, thank you, David, for all the inline comments and all that. I am right now in the process of addressing them. So, I think Florian sent an email on that thread earlier today. Basically, I would generally concur and agree with Florian. But obviously, David, you're also making some very good points. One of them, which I believe has been completely overlooked, is indeed the revision process of the bylaws, at least hinting to what is the right path to do that. And it's true that without giving too many details, for instance, I'm someone who don't want to go into too many details. These are bylaws, so no URLs and all things, you know, and similar things. But at least, yes, writing. I mean, that's just my opinion. That the BOD, the Board of Directors, can amend the bylaws, you know, by a qualified majority, is something that makes sense to me. Let's keep in mind that we have to keep these things, I would say, simple enough yet solemn enough to make them work, make it practicable. And let's keep in mind that what we're talking about is not the foundational bylaws. This is not the statutes of the foundation. The statutes of the foundation is different, because it puts much more emphasis on the goal, the scope of action, etc., and not about, you know, things such as membership or membership applications or advisory board. These are things that you would not actually probably find into the foundation's bylaws. So in as much as I believe changing the bylaws for a foundation is really hard, bylaws of a community or of a community process, in terms of community process, we have to make it workable. Not easy to do, but workable. And having a two-third majority to change, to amend bylaws, it's pretty good for the community, I think. But so that's something, obviously, that I will, you know, that I will rewrite down. So to answer your question in terms of community consultation for the bylaws changes, the thing is, the BOD is supposedly representing the members, but obviously, yeah, it is also a possibility to have the members, all the members, voting to change or to amend the bylaws. It's also, yeah, it's also something that that can be done.
So, Charles?
Yeah?
If I could butt in, it's Michael. I just wonder if
Mike,
a supermajority provision for changing the bylaws, because at least that's a normal...
Yeah, two-thirds.
Right. You know, two-thirds.
But so we have David Nelson who's saying, what about having that put into the hands of all the members, basically doing that, you know, literally community-wide ballot?
Sure. I think you still probably want a supermajority, though, to change your...
In any case, you do want that, yeah.
It sounds... Both proposals seem sensible to me.
Yeah, I say that frequently. We shouldn't make things more complicated than necessary, because at the end of the day, if enough people are unhappy with the bylaws, they will just whatever, do another fork. So preventing something from happening by making it overly strict just won't work anyway.
Right.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you know, I think whether we go through a people's acclamation, so to speak, of a two-third ratio, or a board of directors ballot is something that is workable, first, in the sense that it's really not something that is difficult. If it makes sense,
yeah,
two-thirds
yeah,
is something
sure.
you can get very easily. I would even
prefer to have this. To have this put into the hands of the board of directors, to have
yeah.
a two-third vote there, and if larger parts of the community are, or of the members are not happy with that, things will change after 1 year anyway. So.
Exactly. I mean, my initial point or my initial movement was to put this in the hands of the board of directors. David is saying. Basically, let's have the members, the people decide. I would say the distinction is perhaps, I guess I don't mind.
Sure. As long as there's a supermajority of either the board or the members.
Yeah. I just would like to say that, in my humble opinion, putting this in the hands of the board make it more easy than reaching a two-third majority of the entire members. That's
yeah.
all, that's my point.
I agree, especially... looking at any normal association. Members also cannot vote, and then you need to find again rules what it means when a member doesn't vote and so on. So in the end, it would maybe make things more complicated than they should be. And after all, I think that the board of directors is the entity representing the members, and if this representation doesn't work, we have rather other problems than these.
And again, let me stress this out. These are not the foundational bylaws or the foundational statutes, which are different.
Yeah, that was a bit confusing to me as well. I posted that in my email, but I think that the question what we have to put into the legal statutes, so to say, also heavily depends from the country where we will be located. So it might be a bit too early to think about it. But what I like is that we have lots of stuff already and these bylaws that might in the end also go into the legal bylaws, so to say.
Yeah, but I think in the scope, in the initial scope, rather, of those bylaws that we've been drafting all together, I think we took great care, or I took great care, in making sure that I was not touching to things that were, you know, that were directly dependent on the location of the entity.
Yeah.
And basically, at first, I came up with my, financial board and things like that, and these were way too sticky with respect to a specific entity in a specific country. So I think it was a good idea to get rid of that. I think that, anyway, these bylaws, once we're going to adopt them, we're going to be able to transpose them and adapt them very easily to pretty much anything. I think what we have to be ready to see is that on the term, in legal terms, the board of directors will be the board of trustees, not the foundations, and essentially the rest will either be subcommittees that are perfectly legal but have no particular standing in legal respect to the foundation, or officers, that is, just, you know, people employed by the foundation. And I think that's what we have to be ready to see in terms of reality.
I think what also will happen is that probably soon after we've established the foundation, and just imagine we get lots of contributors and lots of input and money and whatever. I mean, lots of things can happen that there we might, just for practical reasons, run into the situation where we need to change them nonetheless, because situations might occur that we never could imagine at this early stage. So I think that the current draft of the bylaws is nothing that will be or can be supposed to last for eternity. It just depends on what happens. I think it's pretty hard to predict at the moment what changes or what entities or bodies inside the foundation are necessary later on, what we can afford and what's feasible and the like.
And another thing, and that is also perhaps to answer to one of David's point, when it comes to the membership committee, I wouldn't actually define it too much, because, first of all, I think we're going to have precisely several, so to speak, back and forth between the right to strike the right balance of the membership committee and how it's supposed to run, how it's supposed to be organized, and how many members, and writing anything of that kind in the bylaws is going to be a mess. What we want is to have something that allows the board of directors to say, okay, let's put these people, you know, they volunteered or nominate them. We create that membership committee, and if, like, 2 months afterwards they're starting to have problems, we can reevaluate them, you know, and it's going to be very easy, and it's not going to take us a two-third majority vote to reform that committee or add to that committee or modify it, you know?
I think that at least for the very beginning, although being legally a bit different, I think that the role and the situation of the board of directors will be a bit similar to what we have right now with the steering committee. Lots of things to create, and lots of things to develop and to experience and the like. I'm sure that after a while things will look a bit different in a positive aspect, and even if there is some other sort of legal liability, I think that the very first situation of the upcoming BOD will be similar to what we have at the moment with the steering committee.
Yeah.
Of course, a bit more duties or different duties, but very much comparable, I'd say.
So if we're done with this, I mean, obviously we're going to continue to elaborate over the end of the week. That's something we can do. The next item I would like to propose, to study the request of Michael Bemmer to join our community. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Anything else? I'm the only one laughing. Okay.
No, I'm laughing in silence.
No, we are mute.
Given that we had just 4 days since the last steering committee call, there is nothing really new from my side, at least nothing.
We could give a technical update for it, where we're at with the release calendar.
I think that's better for the RC stuff, that's better Torsten's task, I think.
Torsten, go for it.
No, Michael, please.
No, you know you want to.
I'm quite under the weather, so you probably you pay more attention to what happened today, so please.
So, I mean, at least the RC is tagged, and we are building it currently, and I think it's looking quite good. In terms of blocker bugs, we've fixed many of them. Let me look at the stopper tracker bug. We have a stopper tracker bug in the free desktop bug server, which is 31865, and currently there are only two potential blockers from that, and neither of them really have a good solution. The BR office branding is, I think, almost closed, so we're down to about one, I think. So anyway, we'll see how RC1 looks, but it's looking positive, I hope.
Okay.
And we hope this will be the first one that's BR office branded in that locale, at least pretty well. So maybe some edges and nits, but the same binary should give you both BR office and LibreOffice, depending on how it's named and what locale it's in. So yeah, we're excited. It's looking good.
That's great. Just a quick comment. What would be great is, I don't know if it's online somewhere, but what you organized for me before my latest talks, this nice graph that Cedric initially prepared. Is it possible to get it up to date every week? It would be just great to have this graph with number of developers and from which company or individuals they come.
Yes, I don't think it's automatically generated, but... it's possible that you can be taught how to generate it yourself, but
that'd be great.
I mean, Cedric posted one relatively recently. I think we're up to 77 entirely new developers at that point.
Yeah, that's my recent number, exactly.
35 translators. I think that'll do for a week or two. We'll see. Maybe when we ship the product, finally, we should do better. But
yeah. I don't know. For the product shipping, I don't want to influence any decision of the developers. But what my feeling at the moment, looking at the calendar and looking that Christmas is before the doorsteps, I tend to think that the final release is more in January. Is this assumption right, or do you still target for December at the moment?
Well, so one of our problems is that we've been doing a lot of work on master. Including sort of more memory shrinking and more new features and quite a lot of work there now since we froze. And I think to keep our momentum up, it would be better to release more frequently. So there was a tentative plan to get this out quickly and then have a smaller gap till the next release. So nominally January. So maybe we can do both.
Okay, I'm just asking, there are two things. One good point that came up was that people might use the silent time between the years, so to say, to do a bit more testing before January release. And what I would recommend is that at least, I don't know how it's for other countries, but at least for Germany, about 1 week before Christmas, it's pretty hard to get anything out or to have anyone being interested in the news you spread. So my personal feeling, given vacation times and all together, If we want to have the PR stuff ready and you know, website and everything that we need for a nice release, we should be, I think, no later than December 17th. That's at least my personal guess, and we, Torsten and I, had a short talk in Munich about that. So we should keep that in mind. Releasing on December 21st, even if it works, if we find enough people to do so, I doubt the release will catch lots of attraction.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So we're gunning for, you know, as soon as possible. Clearly, I think there is a problem in releasing too far after Oracle.
Yeah.
Which are due to release any minute now. So, yeah.
Just let's stay in touch and see where we're going. Just wanted to mention that date. After the 17th, it would be pretty hard, I think, because lots of people aren't there anymore and the press is not interested in news anymore. So
of course,
we might get more momentum if we then have a nice release in January, you know, start of new year and the like. But yeah, let's see how it turns out. And there's still more than 2 weeks left. So
anyhow, testing is really appreciated, and people, you know, it would be great. The more testing we get in RC1, the better, I suppose.
Yeah. So, anything else at the moment? Any updates, questions?
I'm making the headlines currently of the major, the largest French IT newspapers, apparently, today. I even get my picks on it.
Sorry, didn't get this one.
Some newspaper had Charles' picture, or did I get that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically the largest IT newspaper in France.
Okay.
You can go to 01net.com. You can see my bold face with the splash screen behind it.
Nice. So, for when are we targeting Time magazine? That would be pretty cool, I think. It's a time for next year, so to say.
Maybe if Italo is on the call. I believe he's on the call.
Yes.
Hello, Italo.
Hi.
Been a long time. Let's say, I had a question. What do we do about the press release about Brazil?
I'm going to rework it and make a new draft tonight.
Okay.
And we are going to, I think, to distribute that on Monday.
Okay. And then I had something else perhaps to say, that we are still, I believe, interested and thinking about this special committee of local associations. I think this is a very good idea.
Yes, I think actually what happened, I've been distracted by what happened in Italy. We have now a problem with free software at political level.
Oh.
So there has been a politician who was close to free software that has signed an agreement with Microsoft.
Oh.
So the last week has been quite frenzy for communication inside the Italian market.
Huh.
You know, there is a chance that there are elections in Italy next year. And of course, let's say companies are starting to think about politician to finance.
Okay.
Okay, so anything else? Otherwise, I suppose that we, for 5 or 10 minutes, open the microphones for the audience. I'm pretty sure that David wants to add some comments to the bylaws discussion that we had. So I'll just do this one, just 1 second, opening up the microphone. So, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello?
David, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me now?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess you read my comments written into the bylaws themselves. For me, the sections that need the most attention are the section on voting and also the section on amendments to the bylaws. I must admit, my personal take on that would be that I would love to see a situation in which there are frequent votes put to the community. For that, I guess, need an efficient voting system, possibly some kind of automation in the voting system. I don't know what you all think about the idea of single transferable votes or whether you think a first-past-the-post system is better, but for me, an STV system that could easily be automated in if like our developers were willing to sit down and to throw something together. What do you think about that?
David, just my take, this is Michael. GNOME uses the STV system, the Meek method, and I think it provides a very fair way of doing elections. And they also do it with secret tokens, so you can verify your vote and rerun the election yourself if you're about it. And it seems to have worked well without any challenges, really. So, anyway, second that.
So there, it's possible to have an easy-to-use voting system whereby voting is not cumbersome, in which case you could allow yourselves to consult the committee relatively frequently.
I think that's an orthogonal idea. I'm not so in favor of direct democracy at every turn. That's but a fair voting system is a must.
Mm.
What about
okay. And for me, I would like to see the bylaws protected by having the community consulted whenever there's anything more than a very, very minor change to them. I see that you probably don't go in that direction, maybe.
I see positive and negative sides on that. On the one hand, sure, it would be a very direct form of getting feedback. On the other hand, I think that the members, so to say, vote for the board of directors. So we have some sort of representation. And what also is in the bylaws, as far as I recall, is that we or that the board of directors can at any time call for vote amongst membership and the other boards. So what I would call naive, but what I would do is just rely on the board of directors to, in case there is a more than major change, ask for a vote amongst the community. And what you should not forget is that depending on the final form of the foundation that we have, the final legal form, just as an example, if it was in Germany, we had a very, the legal bylaws, so to say, limit what you can do, so a real major change in what we are going to do with the foundation is not possible by law. So this limits the amount let me call it public abuse as well.
I have a question. How big do you envision the community being?
I think it's an interesting question, David. We actually asked ourselves that several times. That's my own take. Anywhere between, let's say, 150 to maybe 200 people, big maximum. I would say 150 people.
Mm-hmm.
David, if you look at the Git commit stats, already we have over 100 people who have committed.
Yeah.
That are relatively new. So I think we're already at that 150 mark, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I should decline further.
And in the event that an STV system was chosen, do our developers feel willing to actually sit down and put together some automated voting system for us?
So that's all written already. There's OpenSTV that you can use to do this. I mean, all the tools are already there. So.
Oh, cool.
They just need deploying.
Yeah. Okay. And what about the tools for meetings? That was the other question I was wondering about. I mean, you know, you're talking about having meetings on at least a yearly basis and stuff like that. Are you envisioning that this has to be like face-to-face? We all have to go and have a good time in Paris for a week? Or are you going to have some kind of online meeting system such as Open Meeting, which is one that I suggested, for instance?
I think it will be a combination.
So the first thing is that I don't think it should be in the bylaws. But the second thing is, yes, we indeed have already written somewhere, and that's actually one of the latest changes, that we will have face-to-face meetings. I guess Florian might answer you perhaps better in terms of what are going to be the tools, at least the ones that we foresee my meetings.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think that at least one time a year, if possible, we should have a face-to-face meeting. Despite, you know, video conferencing and all that stuff, meeting personally is, I think it's very important. We see it every year on the OOCons.
You're talking about meeting of the governance or meeting of the entire community?
Both. I think both.
Meeting
of the entire community is very important, I think, to talk to people. So is for the marketing sub-project and the like. But especially for the meeting of the board of directors and the board of directors and the advisory board and all those
the governance
within the or bodies within the organization. And I think I agree with Charles. We shouldn't write the technical stuff in the bylaws. We can as easy as use like Skype. It's rather easy. We can have other sorts of conferences, so that shouldn't be a problem. But I wouldn't solely rely on online communication. At least once a year, when it's possible, we should have people to meet face to face. Of course, if we have someone in Australia and no funding for traveling, that's a bit a different situation. But if possible at all, we should try to meet at least once a year face to face.
Right. Okay.
And regularly, of course, online.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for that. That's about all my questions.
Yeah, thanks for the feedback. That's great.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, anything else for the moment?
Yes, hello, this is Drew. I was wondering if I could ask a question.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Drew.
How is everyone? Sorry there.
Hey,
everyone's talking.
Hi, Drew. How you doing?
I just had a quick question. I listened to the recording of the last steering committee meeting where you had talked about the decisions you're making on where to legally create the foundation, which country. And I know you guys are working on it. I was just curious why it appears that the deliberations on that are not happening in public. And I was just curious if there's a reason for that.
You mean the discussion? Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
You mean the discussions about the location where we want to meet? Or want to set up the foundation?
Yes. I mean, I think you said the U.S. was out, and I understand that. But then you said there, you know, we're looking at France, you're looking at Germany, and there were some parameters, and I understand that too. But I'm just wondering if there's a reason that I'm not seeing things, you know, what the decision process is, or are you just trying to avoid, you know, too big a conversation and getting distracted, or is there some other reason why it seems to be happening just inside the steering committee?
I'd say that at the moment we are mostly collecting information. We are all no real legal experts, and what I can share is that, for example, when we had the Congress in Munich, we had someone at the Congress who did a legal research in various countries, and we're still in looking into that, which countries to take. And to sum it up, I think that at the moment we would like to present if there is any real choice at all, or if it boils down to one country. I think it makes sense to only present when we are in a state to show something. And right now we're collecting mostly stuff And I think nobody of us is at the same level at the moment. So that's the main reason why there has not been a big discussion on the list for now. So no, not a problem with being in secret or like, just so much information and just sorting out which countries make sense, which countries don't make sense. And for example, within the EU, we have an ongoing law change that will allow probably from next year on to have a so-called EU foundation. So there's lots of change at the moment, and I think it makes sense to present the results only when we have something that really can be shown.
Yeah. And
okay. The only other comment I had was I'm very interested to hear what the thoughts are on the relationships with these external associations. That is something I think is really important, both with what the relationship's going to be with whatever, I don't know what the technical term is, but what you call the club in Germany and that other group in France and as other associations. So I'm really going to try to pay attention to what's going on with that. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, it is. It is extremely important. So my initial comment I made that to Italo, because Italo is also someone who's I would say driving this, or you know, reminding us that it is not just an important subject; it is also an important subject that we have to work on and tackle. So the initial point is in fact twofold. The first thing is, We would actually love to work with local associations, and we understand they're going to be very important. The way we're going to work, the first thing is that we need to establish a charter or some clear guidelines, something very basic at least to start with, so that we speak a common language, okay? And the second is that we do need you know, some sort of liaison committee where we're having that local reputation committee. It's where can be very simply represented. It's not about the having, you know, special settings. It's just, you know, making sure that we know how to contact the people that are relevant to these matters and that, you know, in some sense do represent our volunteers worldwide, and you know, we need to make sure that we get the right information, that they can ping us whenever they want, that we can ping them whenever we want to. So that's the first two things, and these two things do not exist at the moment.
Okay, that's it. I just if I could just take one last second, I guess this is
sure,
for Mr. Meek. I was real interested in what statuses on the problems that are happening with the mail merge, with this upcoming RC. I think it was Kaolin that had put a patch up, and I guess there was a discussion about whether it should or shouldn't go in for fixing one of the mail merge issues, and I didn't catch whether that's planned to be in our RC.
I'm sorry, so Cedric had a patch, if that's what you're thinking. That was in one of the...
Yes, I'm sorry.
I didn't believe that bug was a blocker, though, so that certainly wasn't a blocker for RC1. I asked him, you know, I was doing some review on that, I guess. Cedric... Yeah, he pushed a patch to 3.3, at least a fix to Crasher, Essential Crasher. We didn't know. Let's just see what happens in RC1. See how it looks. I mean, we see this memory growth out of control and then, you know, death problems. But I think these are not per se incredibly new. If we look at the IBM research on the memory usage of OpenOffice and so on. So
yeah, so the whole mail merge is a disaster area, so and there's no difference to if, for example, to OpenOffice org in that regard. So yeah, I agree that shouldn't be a blocker. Would of course be nice to have that fixed, but let's see.
I seem to pick up your previous comment.
And think about, you know, rewrite the whole merge thing. It's really important for a lot of people. Never been using this, but it seems to be really important.
Sure, sure. I mean, clearly, it's not our intention that it's broken, but then again, we're not holding up a release candidate for a fix. So,
Okay, thank you very much.
I think just to make a point, you said that a lot of the foundation discussion was going on in private, so that was your perception. My perception was different, but actually the most important discussion is really the bylaws, because they're, you know, I mean, I guess the law for our community, and the actual exact legal entity and where it's based, and, you know, all of this has a, you know, has an impact, but the key thing are the bylaws, which are being done in public. That was my take. But, you know,
I'm sorry if
it's France or Germany.
I was trying to be very specific on what I was talking about, because
sure.
General bylaw conversation is quite open.
That's correct. So, I mean, the important thing, as far as I can see, is being done clearly in public, and the unimportant, but very detailed and very complicated and, you know, technical and not very susceptible to lots of people piece is, you know, being researched in private. I think that makes some sense.
Yeah, I think where the foundation is actually based, whether it's based in France or Germany or wherever, that's not really so important to the community as such. Those are like little technicalities, as you say. The most important thing is, as you say, the bylaws, yeah.
Yeah, and if I could add on that, I'm not sure I've caught up on every email on the bylaw conversation, but it seems to have been a very good conversation. And I'm pretty impressed with how that's going. So, on that standpoint, I was trying to be very specific on just one point. But overall, I'm very happy with what I'm seeing there.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the great feedback that we're getting. I think it's great to see that so many outside of the steering committee are also thinking about and giving feedback and sharing your thoughts. I think it's just great, and it shows that the approach we try to take with engaging the wider community just begins to work. So, anything else for the moment?
I'm done.
Okay, so then, everyone, thank you very much. And as usual, I think tomorrow I will send out a poll on the next conf call. We'll put online the recording. What we've somehow missed, I guess, is somebody who's taking minutes. But anyway, we have the audio recording, so anyone who's interested can at least participate. So then,
just one question. By Monday, will the bylaws still be an open subject of conversation, or by Sunday, do you think you will have finalized all that?
I'm pretty sure we won't be finished by Sunday, but I really would like to impose some sort of deadline, because if we leave open the door for another 2 or 3 weeks, it will take even longer until something happens. So I'd say if there is some real important change coming in by Monday or even Tuesday, we can have a look at it. But I want to avoid that the discussion just goes on and on and on, and this will lead to nothing, I guess. That's at least my take.
Yeah, sure, I understand it. Certainly, it would be nice to get that finalized pretty quickly, because the lack of bylaws is actually impeding work in certain other areas of the project.
So if there is any feedback, don't hesitate to send it in. But I think the public discussion has been going on for 2-3 weeks, something like that. Everybody had a fair chance, and we pointed out during the latest calls and even during some public talks and the like. So anyone who would like to contribute has their chance now. And I think this is a rather fair deal at the moment. So, if there's nothing else to add, then I'd say let's call it a day, and thanks everybody for joining, and hopefully hear you again sometime next week.
Thanks very much.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, David. Thank you, Drew.
Bye, all.
Bye. Bye-bye, Charles.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sophie.
Bye-bye.